Welcome back to episode 143 of the Ross Bolin Podcast, otherwise known as RBP143, brought to you by Grand X Media. I am your host, Ross Bolin, here at the Grand X Media Studio in Austin, Texas, with my naughty and thick producer, Micah Weiner.
Thick with two C's, my good friend.
That's
welcome
true.
Back to the stew. Happy Monday, my dude.
Yeah, Micah, what'd you get into this weekend? Tell people about your weekend.
A whole lot of nothing. I ran 10 miles yesterday.
That's a lot of something, but what it's miserable here and freezing.
It was an absolutely miserable run. I am running a half marathon on Sunday, and I can't really complain. As bad as yesterday was, it was like 40 degrees and raining the whole time. We've been training for a half marathon throughout like November, December, and January and February, and haven't had a bad day to run yet.
Dude,
other than this one. So I can't complain.
I had a round of golf lined up for Sunday, and at like 10:30, not even super early, and we didn't even play because we were like, "Fuck this! It's cold and raining." And
yeah,
you went and ran 10 miles.
It was miserable, but other than that, had a great weekend, and I'm ready to get back on the grind.
You didn't big time me at any restaurants this weekend, which was nice.
No, not this week. Not this week.
Did we ever explain that?
We never did really talk about it on the pod.
Do you want to explain it real quick?
We could get into it. Yeah,
do it. Just explain it. Quickly for folks, what happened at the? Feel like we might have talked about it. I don't remember.
As the people know, we frequent Matt's El Rancho. We being like the Grand X fam, Austin people in general. It's always a very busy restaurant.
Our large group of friends. Of course,
I'm from Austin. I grew up eating there. My parents, my mother ate there when she was a child, at the original Bob's Matt's.
Did your nana eat it? Eat with Bob himself?
Bob Armstrong, former Texas Land Commissioner. Nice man.
Sure.
By all accounts.
Sure.
Anyway, so I can neither confirm nor deny that. Anyway, we go to Matt's a lot. This is a thing. I live like a half mile from there.
I used to live about a half mile from
there. I live even closer.
Maybe a quarter.
Yeah. I'm. It's like the closest restaurant to me. It's crazy.
Yeah. I was closer than Micah.
I wasn't. But you were very close. It was close.
Just
anyway, it's good. It doesn't bother me. Anyway, a couple Fridays ago, my girlfriend Caitlin had her friend Caitlin.
Boo boo.
Yeah, Boo boo had a friend named Caitlin who was in town. Her best friend, Caitlin with a K.
Caitlin too.
Yeah. And so we were going. Whenever we have friends in town, like we, especially New Yorkers, like we've got to take them to El Rancho. It's the quintessential Austin Tex-Mex
like,
experience.
Welcome to Texas. Here's some Tex-Mex.
Yes.
Now you want to die.
Here's a Mexican martini. Now you're hammered.
You're shithoused and fat.
Yeah.
Congratulations. So now you're like us.
We took Caitlin, but right as we were like calling the Uber, I checked my Instagram, and I saw that Ross and Dave, our former colleague David Ruff.
Also me.
And Ross. I said
me.
Ross first.
Yeah. I know.
Posted some things on Instagram. I believe Ross was dipping a chip into a Bob Armstrong dip.
Of course I was.
In a boomerang Instagram story post.
That's interesting. I didn't even know I was a part of that.
It's something along those lines. You might
awesome.
Have been dipping in salsa. Something to allow the people to know that you were at Matt's.
I acknowledge.
And I was like,
I wasn't sober there.
Well, that's fine. We're headed to Matt's too. Maybe we'll see them. So we walked in. They told us it was like an hour and a half wait.
Rather than text either of us, by the way. You went in with the element of surprise being the goal.
Well, here's the thing. If it was just Caitlin and I would have texted you.
Okay.
But since we had the second Caitlin involved.
You had a squad.
We had a guest from out of town. So I don't know. And this, I saw your tweet or your Instagram story was like 30 minutes before.
Okay.
So you guys had clearly.
You knew we were deep into the meal.
You were ahead of us and you were seated. So we walk in, and they say it was 45 minutes, and so you can almost always take exactly half the time away.
Yeah.
And so, but we walked in around the bar area. So when you walk into the restaurant, you turn right, you walk past the bathrooms, you go to the bar area. The wise ones out there will take a left and go to the outside bar.
The wise ones,
which we did.
Yeah.
And now when we went.
I'm one of the wise ones.
When I made
record.
This move, I was also peeking inside the main dining area to see if I could see Ross and or Dave, and did not see.
You were scouting.
And then I came around the corner and I looked for you and you were not on the patio.
So nowhere to be found.
Okay, no big deal. So then we get our drinks and like as soon as we ordered them, they called our number. Or they texted.
I'm dying.
Good. They texted us.
Jesus, you're dying.
I'm good.
It's a simple sneeze, man. You're going to be okay.
So they text us. So then we walk right back around the bar. We get back to the front, to the hostess stand, and they walk us down the hallway directly to the back.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And as we're walking down the hallway, I can see Dave. I did not see Ross.
Putin.
I must admit this. But I saw David's Putin-looking ass.
I was probably slouched down so low that you couldn't even see me. That's my posture.
Yes, I saw David Ruff's Putin-looking ass, and I thought he saw me, and I think he saw me. But I was walking, and I was leading the two Caitlins.
I definitely saw you.
Oh, okay. I did. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I thought we made eye contact. Well, I saw you. You were looking
directly at
Dave. I came in,
and I looked right at Dave, and I winked at him like two or three times.
Yeah.
Like, I might have done like finger
you
gun.
Did some motion. You did some motion, because I remember being like, well, I was really stoned, and I was like, whoa, Micah just fucking big-timed us so hard right there. I was like, but surely he's coming back.
Right.
And then you never did.
But so, like, we were there. So then we sit down. Okay, y'all are at the long table right by the door, right past the door. They walked us in, opened the door, and put us on the first table outside by the door. Outside in the area, you all are inside.
Right.
But where I was sitting, I was staring right at Alyssa Ruff.
Okay.
I could see Alyssa Ruff perfectly. I couldn't see anyone else at your table. But I could see that there were people at the table that I did not know. Let me start by saying that.
Okay, yeah, there were.
There was at least two people at that table that I was unfamiliar with.
I
will also say, Amanda, who's someone I know, had her hair looked different. I was like, is that or is that not Amanda? I can't tell from where I'm sitting.
Okay, but what I'm deducing here is that you decided this is too complicated, and you just said, fuck it. We see each other all the time anyway. Who gives a fuck?
That's not it.
Oh, really?
So we sit down, and our table is uneven, okay? It's one of those uneven table situations.
Okay, yeah, that happens sometimes
so
in mats.
Like,
it's okay.
It's no big deal. Nah, I told the waiter, and he's like, oh, I'll fix it. And he goes and gets like a stack of, you know, koozies
or
whatever.
Some shit.
And evens it out.
Napkins.
But like, that makes me a little anxious.
From Chipotle.
And so like, I feel like I can't get up until this table is fixed. So now like, we've sat down, we've waited, he's fixed the table, we've sat down for like 7 minutes.
Right.
Is that a good time to get up? And
right, then you gotta pick a time.
I also,
fuck,
like, I'm in full, like, you know, guest mode.
This is a segment right
here. Well, I have a guest, yeah.
It's the segment about how it works when you're in a separate party and you see another party that you know at a restaurant. Because it is really, truly, you have to make several decisions. It's like, okay, now do I get up and abandon my guest and my girlfriend
and
to go say hi to these people?
Especially since I was in full tour guide mode.
Do you bring them with you to come introduce them? It's like, now our whole party's over there and your table's abandoned. Can you leave your purses? Like, what the fuck? Now it's so complicated.
Exactly. And
life
is
so hard.
And I'm like, you know, I've been coming here my whole life. Let me tell you about Matt Martinez. He was a former Golden Gloves boxer. I'm doing the whole speech. Oh, who's Bob Armstrong? Let me tell you. He's a former Texas Land Commissioner.
Yeah, now 40 minutes have passed.
And so now I'm like,
they've given your table to somebody else.
And like, do I get up and walk over there? You know, like, should I be offended that I wasn't invited to dinner in the first place? I don't even know. How do I? Is this a private dinner? There are people at the table. I don't know.
Right.
So we decide. I was discussing with the girlfriend. I was like, do I go? And I'm like, let's just hang out here. And I figured maybe one of you guys would walk by and take a piss or something. And like, we could chat. And then I'll be like, we'll come over and say hi.
And it just never happened.
It never happened. And then when you guys left, to be fair here, you walked past us. Just outside the door, and y'all are inside the door, and I stood there and waved like a goddamn crazy person. Like,
wow.
And I'm like, hey, I think I waved with two hands, and y'all just walked right
out. Man, that's fucked up.
And no one made no one sort of turned to
see
if I was
out
there.
On God, I didn't see you.
So it was a big misunderstanding. But
it was.
And, you know, I didn't think much of it at the time.
It was funny as shit in hindsight, though. Like, just the initial entrance was the part where I was like, that was incredible. He, like, walked by, winked. He's got multiple women with him, and he did some kind of hand motion, and he continued past us without stopping to say hello to anyone. And the only people at the table who noticed were Dave and I, and that's what made it even funnier. We were like, did he just really do that? And so no one was offended. And then my memory, 2 minutes later, I forgot that Micah was even there.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
I didn't think anything of it, really. I was like, we just missed him. You know, I'm going to see Ross tomorrow. It's not that big a deal, and I'm sure I'll bump into Dave this weekend. Like, it's
no
problem.
Each other quite often.
I like the news. I didn't get a chance to say hello, but we'll see them at some point in the future.
Yeah, they'll be around.
But then I get on Twitter And I see that the Dave and Ross had just clowned me. Dave said something about how fucked up it was that I didn't say hello.
Well, I think I just said I totally forgot that even happened.
Ross said something below like, yeah, that really was fucked up. Yeah. Something along those lines. Like you're Dave came in aggressive posture, but you're like piling on and you got more likes and I was watching and this tweet was both these tweets were going semi viral. Like there's just a lot of hate for me.
For the love of God,
there.
Man, semi-viral
Look,
for
man,
you is too broad of a net.
I don't get tweets that go over 100 likes very often. Okay, even my good tweets. And
people
Ross could just send a, you know, basically like, yeah, Micah, yeah, that was fucked up, and it gets like 340 likes.
You know why though? What? Because people love the real life interactions between you and I and those guys as well. And
well,
and
it hurt
this story.
A bit. So
the stories
point,
are hilarious. You can't take that personally.
I didn't think anything of it, but then I saw
content.
That and I was like,
it's not personal.
And my girlfriend was like, well, "What's wrong? You look upset." I'm like, "These guys are clowning me on the internet, and the internet's important to me."
Of course.
So then she gets upset, and not because I was upset, but she was like, "Maybe you know they should have said hello to us," and it just became a thing.
Fucking and restaurant now interactions.
I think we've now squashed this beef.
Good. Let's bury it.
And I was at El Rancho on last Friday. We had a wonderful time. I got a. There's a new thing that's happened, a new phenomenon that's happened.
Is it
to
them
me.
Making it like not making us pay for meals anymore? Because
no.
That's what it should be. Because
yeah,
honest
be.
To God,
God
people
how
come.
Much money I've spent
dude,
there.
I'll get Snapchats from people in like Minnesota. Like we did literally this weekend.
Yes.
The guy was in town from Minnesota that went to Matt's El Rancho. Because we talk about
we
it that often.
We created like a second economy.
It's fucked
where
up.
Where people come and go to El Rancho, and then they'll go eat at like at Wu Chow.
Yeah.
And support our
yeah,
people.
Yeah, there's like the Ross Bolin podcast tour of Austin.
Yeah. But I was there this weekend, or on Friday, and I wasn't planning on drinking, and I did, and it was a mistake. I mean, it wasn't a mistake. That's why I ran Sunday instead of Saturday, because I had too many martinis, or Mexican. I just had margaritas.
Ooh,
Top Shelf Frozen is my drink of choice there now.
Froken? Yeah, they'll all get you. Those margs, those martinis, they're the best.
It's a wonderful place. I'm going to be back there. But there's a new phenomenon to me. Caitlin's sister is coming to visit and run this half marathon with us this weekend,
ooh.
And we will... There's no doubt I will be at El Rancho at some point. That's where we take people. But there's a new phenomenon where some dude comes up to me. I get recognized, which happens on occasion.
Yeah.
You know, I don't go out very much. But when I do, the new thing that's happened to me, it's happened twice in a row, is, what's up, Micah? What's up, man? I'm like, hey, how you doing? He's like, hey, big fan of the podcast. And I go, cool. And we kind of walk away. And I think to myself, which podcast? I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. Because he could be a backdoor cover fan.
Will DeFries and I live in the same apartment complex, so we went to dinner on Friday with our girlfriends, mm-hmm. and the guy came over and was like, Will, hey, Sally, great to meet you. Oh, is that producer Micah? Holy shit, you still talk to him? And I was like, yeah, we still chat.
That's awkward as fuck.
It was weird. We got recognized a couple times, and I love it. Thank you for gassing me up, my friends. Even though my girlfriend kind of hates it, I love it.
I also love
you see,
it. Please
especially
don't
if you're
stop.
At El Rancho.
Fuel the Micah fire.
If you're at El Rancho and Ross is there and he's high as hell, you've got to come say hello to him.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, if I'm there and I'm hammered on Mexican martinis, which I will be Sunday night after running 13 miles, like come dap me up. Don't be embarrassed.
I might
you're not
like,
going to embarrass me. You're not going to break my meal.
I might not like talk a whole lot back, but that's just the way I am.
This is different than like Ross and I at Jeffrey's. On romantic dates with our wives.
Yeah. Come say hi, dude.
That's
for sure.
Leave me alone.
Not
if
at Jeffries.
I'm in El Rancho,
if I'm at Jeffries, well, you're not at Jeffries. But
right.
I
might be at some point.
No. I'm saying it's how fucking unlikely
is
it that one of our the gang is most likely not hanging
at
Jeffries. Y'all are young, so most of y'all. I don't
if
know.
We're
but
at
we
El
got
Rancho,
older people too.
Come
we're
bother
all over
us.
The fucking place.
Well, you know, I'll throw a low photo with you. We'll be boys.
Jesus God, we have to go move forward. What are we? This is the longest intro we've ever done.
Yeah, 14 minutes.
Wait, hold on, you haven't introduced me yet.
That was and intern AJ's here.
Gang, what's up? I see. I was just waiting for my introduction.
Good
I didn't
Lord,
want to just chime in. You know,
dude, did you just feel like you couldn't talk that whole time because I hadn't formally introduced you?
I mean, isn't that how it goes?
Like, I think kind of it. That's how it's supposed
Micah
to go.
Micah doesn't talk until you introduce him.
Yeah,
every time you have a guest on, they don't talk
that's
until
true.
You formally introduce.
It
them,
wasn't so. Very professional of me, and I apologize.
Welcome
for
to the party, AJ.
No, it's fine.
Welcome, AJ.
But I'm here too. It's good to see you guys. See
it's
your
good
bright
to see you.
Faces.
Always.
Ross has a haircut, by the way. Everybody.
Yeah, I look dope.
Quite fresh.
It's fucking true.
He has an uptown fade.
I do. I have an uptown.
Is that? I don't
is
think
that
that's
an uptown?
I
don't
want to
know what an
is.
Uptown fade.
You're from Houston. You should know.
No, then it's definitely not. If that's the version we're talking, it's definitely not an Uptown Fade.
Where are you getting your hair cut these days?
The same way a place I always get it cut.
Oh, shout out to Teresa.
Now. Teresa, yeah, it's my girl, man.
I was going to say Supercuts.
Oh, my God, she's the best. No, AJ.
AJ, get the fuck out of here.
I have spoken to the importance of having a barber that you love and respect, and I have mine. Her name is Teresa. If you want her contact info, hit me up.
Shout out to Teresa.
RBP 143 is brought to you by Quip, not Teresa. Quip. One of the most important things we do for our health every single day is brushing our teeth, and yet most of us still don't even do it properly. Quip is here to save the RBP gang's choppers and chompers with a better electric toothbrush created by dentists and designers. Quip was designed to make brushing your teeth more simple, affordable, and even enjoyable. These things are fantastic. They got a built-in 2-minute timer that pulses every 30 seconds to remind you to switch sides, helping you achieve a full and even clean. And my favorite part, new brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. I usually stay using the same brush heads much, much longer than I'm supposed to the point that they're old and worn out and ineffective. But not anymore, not since I got with Quip. Quip not only makes me a more effective brusher, they also make trips to the dentist quicker and less expensive because my mouth is just in better shape. And that's why I love Quip, and that's why Quip is backed by almost 20,000 dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/RBP right now, you'll get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. Free refill pack. getquip.com/RBP to get that free refill pack for free today. If you're new to our show, every episode is broken down into segments, which you can find with time cues below in the description. Typically, I'm saying what I'm saying right now like 30 seconds in instead of 15 minutes, but that's neither here nor there. You do not have to have listened to any of the other 142 episodes of this show in order to enjoy this one, but if you like the show, go back, get caught up, listen to them all so you don't miss out on any inside jokes or running jokes or knowledge about pirates or animals or serial killers or life in general or whatever. Here's a personal anecdote for those of you who don't skip through the intro, and as a result, I wanted to give you something that the skippers don't get as a token of appreciation. Construction on the Bolin home is finally coming to a close. It was a long and arduous process, the majority of which I smoked marijuana to get through, and it worked. So thank you, weed, again. We have a small house. It's a badass house. It's a badass part of town. Little house, though, all right? I'm just getting started. So when you have foundation repairs and plumbing repairs and painting and landscaping and drainage work being done all at the same time, things get tense, and you have two insane dogs. Oh, man, they get really tense. I'll say this, though. I think all of last week's episodes were better as a result because, frankly, I thrive in chaos. Like, no bullshit. I really do think that mixing in a couple chaos-based days a week can really help some type of creative people. That's like if you're in an industry that requires you to be creative or have a hobby that requires you to be creative. Obviously, this recommendation is not helpful or meaningful if you're not trying to create something. Anyway, I'll find another route to introduce chaos into my life so I can keep being creative now that the construction and stuff is almost over. As a side note, I'm now poor. Follow our show on Instagram, at the Ross Bolin Podcast, where every day we update our Instagram story with photos and videos sent in by our listenership and by our listenership alone, the RBP gang. Those photos and videos typically come into us through Snapchat, by the way. My Snapchat's at WRBolin. Micah's is at MicahTX. Keep the snaps coming. We'll take the best ones and throw them up on the Instagram story at the Ross Bolin Podcast on Instagram every single day. You can follow us on Twitter at Ross Bolin Pod. We're also on Facebook somewhere. Nobody really cares or knows where, so fuck it. Some announcements and amends. Intern Serena is coming in town this week, and she's going to be on the show. On Valentine's Day, in fact. We're going to do a special type of little Valentine's Day episode. We want y'all to call in to the hotline, 888-WR-BOLIN, with relationship and love and Valentine's Day-related questions to be answered by myself, intern Serena, who you'll meet that day. Y'all don't even know her yet. And Micah Weiner. Wait, was Serena on the show? I know she hung with... No, you know what? She wasn't on the show. She gave me a, well, I don't know how much I can rat her out here. She was hung out with me before episode 52. I'll just say that.
She was on Freeze-On Motor Functions.
Yeah, I know she's been on Freeze-On Motor Functions.
She's made an RBP appearance.
Yeah, but she has not been on RBP.
Until Thursday.
Right, until Thursday. And y'all will love her. She's awesome. She's awesome. Anyway, so call 888-WR-BOWL and ask those relationship, love. You can even ask marriage questions if you want. I'm fucking married. I'll answer some questions. I've seen some shit, and we'll enjoy that. Happy birthday to a couple days late. Birthday to Harrison. Your girlfriend Kinsley is cool as shit and also very persistent. Good luck with that. Birthday shout out to Jared Rowdy. How would you pronounce this last name? R-U-E-F-F.
Roof?
Roof? Yeah, that's Roof. What I was thinking too.
Jared Rowdy Roof, which is the coolest last name ever in pronunciation. And if it is indeed Roof, that's like a dog barking and that's tight as fuck. Jared Rowdy Roof coming up February 21st, but fuck it, better early than never. Awesome name. Go to rowdygentleman.com/gang, grab yourself a gang-cubed t-shirt, and shop around. Fill up that cart, rowdygentleman.com. Try some codes. Try Eat Fresh. Try RBP15. See what's what. Good luck to you. Reminder to everyone to call your grandparents. Sure, we celebrate Call Your Grandparents Month in August, but every month is really Call Your Grandparents Month. And I've been bad about this shit, too. And I got hit up by multiple people this weekend who actually lost their grandparents that were like, please remind everybody to call their grandparents. And I was like, fuck, multiple people? I got to say something. So this is me saying something. Call your fucking grandparents. Amends. A lot of you hit me up to say you play the game Catan or Caton or whatever that was that Jared came on here and talked about. How's it pronounced? Catan. Caton, C-A-T-A-N, the fucking board game that Jared Borslow, the menace, brought up last week. A lot of you hit me up to say you play it. That's cool, man. It is what it is. I don't know. I acknowledge your existence.
Ross, you have another amend to make also.
What's that?
So the video that I created that you posted the other day.
Oh, are you talking about
featuring
how
the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, shit.
Your controversial take on them. Very polarizing take.
Yeah,
I just feel like you need to address that very briefly.
No, I don't have anything else to say. I've talked about RHCP on the show before. I despise them fundamentally. I think I used them as a celebrity I want to fight or famous people I want to fight on one of those segments back in the day. RHCP fans that didn't know that are part of the gang and didn't hear that episode and that have never heard my explanation, go listen to it, and it'll make a little more sense. And then remember, it's just jokes. It's a joke. Remember? So don't take it too serious. All right. What was I saying? One more amend. You have an amend, AJ.
Okay, what's that?
You put a Pablo Escobar ripping a joint at the front end of our El Chapo video. We got called out for it.
Oh, was that Pablo?
Somebody was like, that's Pablo, you fucking idiot. And I was like, yeah, but it still looks dope. And I just didn't even say anything. It was cool.
Maybe that's why it didn't resonate that well.
Your videos crush it, so I was like, I'm not even going to say anything. But now that you called me out, I'm calling you out.
Fair enough.
First segment, Apex Legends breaks Fortnite record. So for those of you who are not aware, there's a new video game that came out as of a couple weeks ago, I think, called Apex Legends. And y'all have heard of the game Fortnite that swept the world, that every kid is playing, that Ninja, the number one esports athlete in the world with blue hair, is playing. Y'all have heard of that shit. Nothing has really competed with Fortnite since its release. A new Call of Duty came out, and people were like, this is dope, for like 3 days, and then Fortnite came back to the forefront. Obviously, there have been other games that have tried to compete with it, and there have been games that have had success, and there have been good games that came out since Fortnite's explosion, but Fortnite remained king. Nothing has been a Fortnite killer or even really come close. It was like an Apple iPhone situation, sort of, for a while there. I don't know if some people would still agree with that analogy, but that's neither here nor there. Point is, I started playing this new game, Apex Legends, that is legitimately possibly a Fortnite killer. I started playing it last week. I mentioned it on the show. And then it completely consumed my freaking life this weekend. We have had trash, trash, trash weather here in Austin. Like, fucking cold and also rainy and just dark and gloomy outside. And when it's like that, come on, man, what are you going to do? Unless you're Micah and you're psycho and you go run 10 miles, which is like, I just can't wrap my head around the fact that he did that. Anyway, So I played Apex Legends like the whole fucking weekend. Like at one point, Taylor came into my office, my home office that just happens to have a video game console in it. And she was like, are you ever going to leave this room? I think it was yesterday. And I was like, you're right. I probably should stop playing this game and fucking exit this room. I didn't get in my car between Friday and driving to the studio just now. Well, I didn't drive. I took an Uber. So I still haven't been in my car. Haven't been in my car since last Friday. That's sad. I've been playing Apex Legends the whole time. I still don't have a win, by the way. I'm about to go insane. If someone doesn't help me get a win by the end of today, I might retire. And as I said on Twitter, run into the forest and live out my days with nature. But this game, Apex Legends, the reason it's important enough for me to talk about it at the front of the show, for people who don't give a fuck about video games or what I do with my spare time, 10 million players in 72 hours. That's the record they broke that Fortnite held. The biggest first 72-hour, the biggest launch in video game history. 10 million players, 10 million people played this game in just 72 hours, which is nuts. Here's a little bit from this Forbes column about what Apex Legends has been able to achieve and why this is a big deal. It says, sometimes the stars just align, and after struggling with the release of two good but underplayed Titanfall games, Respawn has managed to find itself a bona fide hit at last in Apex Legends. So, Respawn is a video game developer that is owned by EA, which is Electronic Arts, and you're all aware of them. And Titanfall has released Titanfall 1, which I owned and played probably at least 30 hours of. I fucking loved it. Many people played it a lot more. Great game, but it came out at a time when it was competing with a lot of other good games as well, and it didn't kind of develop the cult base that you need to get into like a Halo situation or into like an Apex Legends situation that we're talking about now. So they came out with Titanfall 2. That one I barely even opened, man. I put it in for like 20 minutes. It was just something about the timing for me. It didn't hit at the right time where I had a lot of video game action going on in my life or whatever. I don't know. But finally, so I'm just saying, my relationship with Respawn's products has been very similar to their relationship with the market in general. So finally, they come out with Apex Legends. And it's kind of a combination of like the Fortnite concept with a lot of Titanfall, like you can jump up and climb walls, jump buildings, climb buildings really high. It's not the same amount of crazy shit that you can do in Titanfall in terms of jumping and climbing walls, but it's similar. Similar, like, you know, shooting, not graphics, shooting metrics, shooting whatever. The shooting style is kind of the same. Video game nerds, you know the word I was looking for. You're probably yelling it at your speakers. I apologize. But they've kind of combined all the hot shit right now. Battle Royale style, but first-person shooter, like Call of Duty would be, but more fun. And the thing, the element of the game that makes it truly unique that no other game has accomplished until this one, you can play with a squad. It's three-person squads instead of four. Fortnite is four. But you can play with a squad, and instead of having microphones so that you all have to talk with each other, there is an element of communication in the game called tagging that allows you to very simply play with anybody in the world with no microphone, which is nice because, honestly, sometimes playing with a microphone on Fortnite, which you have to 100% have to have a microphone to be competitive on Fortnite, gets a little old. Like, I don't want to have to talk, man. I just want to press a button. I talk to people all day. I talk for a living. I just want to sit down and relax and press a button to tell my boy that there's a squad rolling in on us, that there's another gun over here. And so that's what's kind of taking this game over the top. To continue with this Forbes article, the Respawn team seemed genuinely taken aback that the game had racked up 1 million players for the F2P Apex Legends in its first 8 hours. But just 3 days later, that total has rocketed up to 10 million players and 1 million concurrents, which means 1 million people actively playing the game at a time. That's what a concurrent is. It's an unprecedented situation. They had a ton of server issues this weekend as a result. It was a living hell trying to play on Saturday and Sunday, but it got a little bit better. That's the same thing that happened with Fortnite. It's the only other game I've seen that happen to. They had so much success that they couldn't deal with the band. They didn't have the bandwidth to handle the amount of traffic coming in, and the game kept fucking crashing. I'm still getting blue screens. Like, in the middle of, like, a game will have a start. I'll jump out of my, you know, plane or whatever, get to the ground, find badass guns, and then this game will freeze out. So don't get me wrong. There's still some bugs. This is going to be a situation that takes a couple weeks for them to catch up with, I think, because of the amount popularity that they got so early on, but it's just crazy. And what makes this crazy situation even stranger is that no one even knew this game was coming out. Nobody even knew it existed. There was some leaks a few days before launch, but the project was kept entirely under wraps and didn't have any marketing campaign until launch day hit, which is nuts. Right? Fortnite took a big hit here. To get 10 million players is crazy, to get that quickly. They crushed Fortnite on Twitch, which is where little kids watch video game players play video games. It's a thing that adults don't understand. I know if you're over the age of, 20, you're probably like, I don't get it. Yeah, I know. Or 25 probably is a better age. Twitch is very important. And Apex Legends is crushing Fortnite on Twitch right now. So we'll see if they can hold that. It is very crazy. And as Forbes points out, one of the things that's interesting here is that EA, Electronic Arts, used their entire marketing budget for this game by paying streamers to play Apex Legends instead of what they'd normally be playing, often Fortnite, which definitely helped push those Twitch numbers up through the roof as they got everybody from Ninja to Dr. Disrespect playing. I don't even know what the fuck that is. I know who Ninja is, obviously, which is crazy. That's crazy cool. But as Forbes points out, even if that is the case, if your game is fundamentally bad, any kind of influencer push is not going to make it into a hit, Fire Fest, and is not going to produce the kind of numbers we're seeing here. The streamer campaign was brilliant because Apex actually does have the goods when you see it in action. And the content creators, paid or not, are genuinely having fun with it in almost all instances. I thought that was such an important perspective about marketing and advertising dollars and the way advertising works as a whole. You can advertise until the fucking cows come home, but if your product sucks and your game is trash or your podcast blows, nobody's going to listen to it, okay? No matter the reach you have. Eventually, it will fizzle out and you'll die because you don't have any real value there. I'm just saying. Anyway. For those who are forecasting the death of Fortnite thanks to Apex, it's definitely a touch premature. Fortnite has 200 million players with 10 million uniques, and as impressive as the Apex Legends numbers are, has a long way to go to get there, and a lot to prove as we start to move out of this honeymoon phase here, as Forbes puts it. So, Apex Legends, for those of you, you're going to hear those two words thrown around a lot in the coming weeks, as this thing has definitely blown up into the mainstream over the past 24 hours. That's what it is. So now if you don't play video games, at least you won't be uncultured swine and you'll know what the kids are talking about. And if you are one of the people who plays, hit me up if you're good. If you're trash, I don't want to play with you. No offense, but I need people who are good to help me win. There's only 3 slots on the squad and usually I'm playing with my brother or a friend. We need somebody to carry us. Please, someone come and carry us. Next segment. Legendary cowboys you haven't heard of. This dude's name is Willie M. Bill.
I'll just say,
what?
I'm excited for the return of legendary cowboys you haven't heard of.
Well, we're a cowboy podcast, Micah.
Yeah, you bet your ass we are.
Bet your sweet ass. Your ass is sweet. Willie M. Bill Pickett is his name, okay? He was a cowboy, rodeo, Wild West show performer, and actor. In 1989, Pickett was inducted into the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame, which, I'll be frank, didn't know existed, and sounds tight. I feel like you have to have a big dick to get into the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not a thing you go do with a little dick. Rodeo. You got to have a little psycho in you to go ride bulls and shit. I'm just saying. Bill Pickett, to get back to the thing that matters, was born in the Jinx Branch community of Williamson County, Texas in 1870. Very long time ago. He was the second of 13 children born to Thomas Jefferson Pickett, a former slave, and Mary Janie Gilbert. You'll notice I just said a former slave. Our cowboy today is black. Bill Pickett is a black man from slave ancestry. The family's ancestry was African American and Cherokee, in fact. So he has Native American blood in him as well. Second of 13 kids, man. 13 kids. AJ, will you pour me some water out of your bottle into mine?
Yeah, no problem.
You're not sick, are you?
No, I'm good.
This cotton mouth's getting rough. I need 13 kids. That's a lot of fucking, Micah. That's a lot of sex to make 13 children. And a lot
more than Philip Rivers.
More importantly, it's a lot of, on a woman, to, that's a lot of strength you got to have to get 14, 13 kids out of you.
It's a lot of childbearing.
It's a lot of time being pregnant.
That's a, it's in yeah, most it's a, most of the time being pregnant, it feels like.
When are you not pregnant?
Damn, it's question. Like all your childbearing years spent pregnant. Anyway, by 1888, the family moved to Taylor, Texas. In 1890, Pickett married Maggie Turner, former slave and daughter of a white southern plantation owner. The couple had 9 children, so our boy Bill did a lot of boning as well. 9 children. People had a lot more kids back then. That shit, you better be a fucking astronaut if you have 9 children now.
Well, kids, dude, they had like ranches and stuff, so they needed kids to help out.
That's good.
You know, maintain the ranch.
Look at this. This is why we got AJ here. He's a historian.
The logic behind it.
He knows these things. Thank you. Plugging in the fucking knowledge.
Well done.
Anyway, Bill dropped out of school in the 5th grade. Gee shit. To become a ranch hand. Maybe not. And then he began to ride horses and watch the longhorn steers of his native Texas. And then he invented the technique of bulldogging, which is the skill of grabbing cattle by the horns and wrestling them to the ground. If you've ever been to a rodeo, you've seen this shit. That was known among cattlemen that with the help of a trained bulldog, a stray steer could be caught. Bill Pickett had seen this happen on many occasions. He also thought that if a bulldog could do this, so could he. So he practiced his stunt by riding hard, springing from his horse, and wrestling the steer to the ground. His method for bulldogging was biting a cow on the lip and then falling backwards. He also helped cowboys with bulldog. I don't know. Steer wrestling, this may be the exact same thing. It's still a major event at all rodeos, was invented by him.
Wow. It
says in this event, a 500 to 600 pound steer is released from a chute. One cowboy called the Hazer, rides alongside it to force it to run straight, and then the contestant is timed while he rides up alongside the animal, which weighs twice as much as he does, grabs its horns and head, plants its feet on the ground to slow it down, and wrestles it to the ground. So yeah, same thing. I guess it's called bulldogging or steer wrestling or whatever. But anyway, Pickett became famous, very well known for his tricks and stunts at local county fairs when he was getting started. Him and his 4 brothers established the Pickett Brothers Bronco Busters and Rough Riders Association, not affiliated with DMX. The name Bill Pickett soon became synonymous with successful rodeos. He did his bulldogging act, traveling about Texas, Wyoming, Arizona, Oklahoma. Then in 1905, Pickett joined the 101 Ranch, 101st maybe, Ranch Wild West Show that featured the likes of Buffalo Bill, Will Rogers, Tom Mix, B-Ho Gray, and Zach and Lucille Mulhall. Whatever. He performed under the name The Dusky Demon. I don't know why that's what he went with. That doesn't sound friendly at all.
It sounds cool, though.
It's dope, but it's like, it's a little intimidating is all I'm saying. He was a popular performer, toured around the world. He appeared in many early motion pictures, such as a movie created by Richard E. Norman. I don't know who the fuck that is, if you're supposed to know. I'm uncultured swine now. His ethnicity resulted in him not being able to appear at many rodeos. Because this is way back in the day. Slavery was even more apparent then, believe it or not, than it is now. And he was often forced to claim that he was of Comanche heritage in order to perform. And so I guess maybe that Native American side of his ethnicity was perhaps brought into play as a little bit of a sly move there by Bill. Anyway, in 1921, he appeared in the films The Bulldogger and The Crimson Skull. And then, here's a sad ending for you. In 1932, after having retired from Wild West shows, Bill Pickett was kicked in the head by a bronco and died after a multi-day coma.
Oh, man.
That's a cowboy-ass way to die. You can't make that up.
Yeah, but I also feel like it's like one of those ways where you die where it's like people can always ask, like, all right, was this moron too stupid to know you don't stand behind a bronco that you're not like familiar with? You know what I mean? It's like,
oh yeah, that's like your legacy.
It's sort of a rookie move way to die, and I feel like people will always be like, yeah, Bill, that fucking idiot standing behind broncos just waiting and asking for it. You know?
I'd rather go out in a shootout.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not trying to get kicked in the head. If you're giving me 2 choices, one is shootout, one is kicked in the head by horse. I'm picking the shootout. I'm gonna poop my pants in the shootout, but I'm going to pick it. Anyway, speaking of picking it, that's Bill Pickett, your legendary cowboy you haven't heard of. RBP 143 is brought to you by one of our newest sponsors, Baked by Melissa. They have the most incredible cupcakes in the world. I got two big, lovely, I guess, serving, or not servings, but, you know, containers of them that I went through in about, I don't know, 4 days, probably way faster than you're supposed to. Baked by Melissa, these things are delicious, beautiful, and, again, delicious. That's the most important thing to me. They also have incredible packaging. It's very, very cool. These are cupcakes. They're little cupcakes. They're great for gifting. Perfect for Valentine's Day. They've got a ton of different flavors, different icing, different size of each cupcake, in fact, as well. And they're bite-sized, though, you know, like little cupcakes. And they're badass. They're the best Valentine's Day gift you could possibly give. Handcrafted and bite-sized. Adorable and delicious. So you can have one in every flavor because they're so small. And you'll want to because they're delicious. Great flavors and seasonal gift boxes. Easy to gift. Baked by Melissa offers 1 and 2 day shipping nationwide. Last day for standard shipping for Valentine's Day is coming up February 12th at 2 p.m. Eastern time is the last day. So, I mean, that's pretty deep into the game. Today's February 11th, if you're listening today. Tomorrow's February 12th. Get your order in on Baked by Melissa. Go to bakedbymelissa.com/Ross, I believe. Use the promo code Ross, and you will get 15% off your next order. Special offer exclusively for the RBP gang. Use the code Ross, bakedbymelissa.com/Ross or /RBP. I'm not sure which one, but I do know the promo code Ross will get you 15% off. Baked by Melissa. Remember, Valentine's Day delivery, last day for standard shipping for Valentine's Day delivery is February 12th at 2 p.m. Eastern time.
That's tomorrow.
Yes, bakedbymelissa.com, promo code Ross. Next segment.
What's going on? This is Arian Foster, and this is the Houston Rap Song of the Week.
Today's Houston Rap Song of the Week is Burn by Scarface featuring Zero. Also, if you're wondering, whose voice was that just came on and introduced this segment? That wasn't Ross. Yeah, that was Arian Foster. When he was here, Micah was like, hey, Arian, like right after we finished the interview, he's like, can I get you to say something like just real quick for like a segment? Or I think it was AJ's idea maybe. Was it your idea?
Yeah, I want him to record a drop that we can use. I mean, it seemed only fitting.
Is that what it's called in the radio industry, a drop?
Yeah, they call it a drop.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I'm genuinely asking.
That's true.
Tight. AJ, why do you know
that? I had the idea to do some of these, but AJ was like, you should ask him to do rap song, a Houston rap song of the weekend.
Yeah, it worked out perfect, right?
Yeah,
he's like part of the show now.
No, he is. He is, absolutely. So shouts to Arian Foster. And if you haven't listened to the episode with Arian Foster yet, what is wrong with you? It's one of the best ones we've ever done. Some say the best, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Anyway, Burn by Scarface is our Houston Rap Song of the Week, featuring Zero. It's off his Scarface's album, Made, which came out on December 4th, 2007. One of my all-time favorite and most played songs because it's two of my all-time favorite artists together, one with the bars and one with the hook, and it's just a hard-ass track. Mike, I don't know if you want to read any of these lyrics off of Genius here, but there's a lot of gangster going on, man. The opening line is, my hand got powder burns on him. I just murdered a man. Took his life over nothing. If you ask me, fuck him. That's pretty cold. That's him setting the vibe right there. Anyway, the whole song is gangster as fuck. And one of the funny things about Scarface to me is that he like plays golf like 7 times a week now. No bullshit. Like, Callaway did this whole special on him that's very cool. Google Callaway Golf Scarface and watch this video. Scarface is obsessed with golf. Obsessed with it. That's, like, literally all he does is play golf. Because he's like, you know, dude, he's 30 years deep into the game. He's an OG rapper. He's, like, a guy that inspired Jay-Z. And he has money. And enough of it to, and enough classic albums and streams and, I assume, residuals and royalties coming in, that he's good, I think, and he's invested well and taking care of himself. So he plays golf like 7 times a week now, which is like, golf's the least gangster sport.
I was just about to say that too.
It is by far the least gangster
sport. He's out here
murdering
people and then hitting up the golf course.
Well, I'll say this: I can't speak to Face's street days or whatever, but Face, the adult man that at whatever age he is now, does not strike me as a dude who would do dirt. And that's not a knock on him at all. It's just an observation, man. He doesn't look like a dude. He seems like a very nice dude. I have a hard time seeing him ever committing a crime.
Back then, though, I think he was about that life.
Oh, I mean, I don't doubt it, dude. He was running with,
he was
like,
really about what he was rapping back then.
I don't doubt it at all. But I respect guys who get out of the game, like do what they got to do. Get out of the game, have success, and then successfully convert to a like above the board life of not being, you know, you don't have to be a gangster anymore.
It's like Ice Cube.
Right.
Perfect example.
Yes, exactly. Scarface, probably a little more G than Ice Cube. Ice Cube sold out like as hard as you possibly could, which is, again, not, I would have done the same shit.
He made Are We There Yet.
He
that,
did.
That should say more than enough about
him. I would have
right
done
there.
The same shit, though. No judging Ice Cube at all. Anyway, Made, the album that Burn is on, ninth studio album from Scarface, so this is deep in the game for him. It was on Asylum Records and Atlantic Records, by Rap-A-Lot Records, though, obviously. It was critically and commercially successful. It made it to 17 on the Billboard 200 and 2 on the top R&B and hip-hop albums, which is not typical. Face was mostly an underground, below-the-board type of dude. In the South especially, but then, you know, I mean, he started to get nationwide respect, I guess, deep into like the 90s, early 2000s. But that's neither here nor there. Houston Rap Song of the Week, Scarface, Burn, featuring Zero. Next segment. Preparing for Quitting Day 2.0. So Quitting Day 2.0, if you have not listened to episodes from last week, you're unaware. It is tomorrow. Okay, February 12th, 2019. I had to think of what year it was. Quitting Day 2.0. All right. It's going to be tough, but here's the concept of Quitting Day, I suppose, if you don't know anything about it. We did a Quitting Day last year, and mine was Quitting Dip. That's what mine is again, which will let you know I failed eventually, but I did get a couple good months in under my belt there. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We're moving forward. Positivity. You pick something negative you want to cut out of your life. It could be drinking. It could be smoking. It could be eating ice cream. It could be a person. It could be like your terrible boyfriend who's a piece of shit. It could be a family member, if there's like just somebody that's just fucking killing like your life and is terrible toxic baggage that you need to get out of your shit. It could be anything, man. I don't know. Anything you need to quit. That's the whole point. It's Quitting Day. And you pick it. You pick something to quit. Maybe it's to quit being a lazy piece of shit. And then you pick that thing, and then you quit it with me tomorrow. I'm going to be quitting Dip, and you quit whatever you're going to quit. And that'll be that.
To Micah, be clear, you don't have to quit for the rest of your life.
You don't have to,
if you want to.
You could quit for a month.
That's what I did last year. I went dry for a month of August.
Yeah.
Leading up to my cage fight.
You could quit for a week even
exhibition.
If you want to. Maybe it's you want to quit drinking soda for a week just to see what
just
happens.
Just to give it a try.
Yeah.
So that's your...
And this is your opportunity.
But find something you don't like.
Yeah.
About yourself or things that you do that you don't like, and just promise yourself you're going to quit doing it for a little while.
Honestly, if you're like somebody that's always wanted to go vegetarian and you've never had the balls to do it, like try it for a week. This is your opportunity. Quit eating meat for a week or whatever. I would never fucking do that, just for the record. I love meat. I'm going to eat animals. That's going to be happening for the rest of my life probably, unless somebody wild. I've seen all the documentaries. I know how fucked up the food industry is. I'm sorry. It's delicious. It's fucking... I need it in my belly. Anyway, I also had some ideas. Oh, first of all, I wanted to touch on the positives, all the benefits. I quit drinking back in October of 2017, so I have successfully quit something. I've not successfully quit Dip yet. This is the time, though, 2.0. I quit drinking in October of 2017. And since then, here are some of the benefits of quitting something that I have attained. I've lost like 45 pounds. I weighed like 206 at my max. I have chicken legs, it should be noted. 206 on a chicken-legged frame is a very impressive amount of... I'm 6'2", and I still look like hell. Anyway, so I lost a ton of weight. I feel a lot better. Basically saved my marriage, saved my job, which kind of saved my career as a result. Birthed this podcast, really. Changed my entire perspective on life, relationships, friendships. I rarely struggle with full-blown panic attacks anymore. Like, anxiety will still hit me pretty hard, and I have some rough days mentally, especially when I've been, because I've been weaning off Prozac, which, by the way, again, I'm not saying all SSRIs are bad or that everyone should wean off them. Doctors keep emailing me. Leave me alone. I'm saying I feel like this shit was the best decision for me personally, considering all the information I had at my disposal, so chill. Anyway, to continue with the positives, of me quitting drinking. I got back in touch with weed, which got me back in touch with with chilling the fuck out and trying to remember what really matters in life, like slowing down a little bit, like family and friends and your home and your dogs and animals and shit, and golf, even if it pisses me the fuck off. I shot a 61 on the front nine at DCC the other day. 61 on the front nine. Brutal. My brother-in-law was kind enough to let me play with him on this incredible golf course, knowing damn well that I've nearly been thrown out of said incredible golf course for wandering around in the evening during a wedding, shit-faced, smoking cigarettes on the golf course when you weren't supposed to be out there. Anyway, I went out there and shot maybe my worst ever front nine because of the pressure. If you're not quitting something, if you're like, I just can't think of anything to quit because I'm the perfect human, which you should probably like start a cult or something, I'm challenging you to do something a little different. To not just fulfill your legal obligation by telling one person a week, but by telling one person per day for a week or a month, you can pick, whatever. Make it your pledge instead of quitting something to help us grow the show and grow the gang. Also, if every time you have an urge to, if you're doing quitting day and you're going to quit something, every time you have an urge to do the thing that you're quitting, like maybe text that guy you're trying not to text, or smoke that cigarette, or hit the crack pipe or whatever, instead of hitting the crack pipe, share links to the Ross Boland podcast with somebody. Send them the Spotify link or the Apple podcast link. Every time you have an urge, share RBP with someone who doesn't know about it already. I am weaponizing addiction. Let's fucking go. Quitting day 2.0 tomorrow. So get all that bad shit out of your system tonight. I will personally be dipping probably two cans tonight playing Apex Legends. I know that's disgusting. I know. But tomorrow.
Hey, Ross.
What?
Can I briefly talk about something that I quit?
Yeah.
So this might be a little TMI. So I don't crank like at all.
What?
Crank.
You never crank.
Like
you're like Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, is that what he? I don't know.
Mark Wahlberg does not understand. He said
claims he's
fundamentally
never cranked in his life.
He fundamentally doesn't understand.
I'm not
the
saying
concept,
never in my life, but
the concept of masturbation.
But I'm just like, in all seriousness too. Like, it's been probably like maybe I don't know. It's been like a while now. But
what do you mean a while? Yeah, AJ, like to, 7 hours.
To be clear, we're certainly in TMI. Zone here, but you're going to have to be a little more specific.
Yeah, like if we were in public right now in a conversation, I'd be like, AJ, this is too personal. But because we're on a podcast, I'm like, this is awesome. AJ, please continue.
So are we talking
very
like
entertaining.
A number of hours, a number of weeks, a year?
No, it's been like months, honestly.
Holy shit.
I wish I could tell you an exact, but it's been months.
Wow, what do you, good for you, I guess.
And I mean, in all seriousness, there's a lot of benefits from that too.
Because, oh, for sure, dude.
You have more energy. Like, my strength in the gym has gone up a lot. I get better sleep at night. You know, girls are more attracted to you is another big reason, because I guess
you put off a different energy.
You exude some type of different aura.
For sure.
And like I said, like in all seriousness too, like I know it's kind of like a taboo.
No, it's a weird thing. No, it is. I mean, it's something that people. It's like.
But if we're talking about
people
like
people don't
serious
like talking
things,
about this
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, if we're talking about serious things to quit, I know that's something that obviously a lot of males.
Oh, dude, we all know.
With.
Like you'll see
single
one of those.
Or married. If you're in a relationship or not, yeah. It doesn't matter. It's just human male biology, I guess.
How often do you see news stories that are about like porn addiction issues or whatever? Porn and everything that comes with it, cranking. It's a problem. Can be a very big problem for people. So that's absolutely something.
I think you touched on it before. I believe.
Oh,
on
I think
a previous
so.
Episode.
Yeah,
or
I talked
or
about
or at least the porn addiction.
How porn shouldn't be the way you learn about sex.
Yeah, not so much the cranking part, but that kind of goes hand in hand anyway.
Yeah. Well, this has been weird, AJ, but I'm glad you went there.
I mean, hey, I just want to be totally transparent with the gang. You know,
you're
like,
doing. You
if we're all quitting something, like
sharing
that's,
personal, real shit that
so
can help other people
gonna,
is what I'm all about.
What do you think you're going to quit, AJ?
For quitting day 2.0, what are you
going to
quit? Yeah,
you've already quit cranking.
Yeah, I was going to say, aside from that.
I don't think you have to quit anything else. You're good. That's like, you're good with Jesus at that point. Once you stopped cranking. No, I'm just kidding. What are you going to quit?
I don't know. I don't really have any serious vices.
Guess you'll have to tell a person about the show every day.
Yeah, I do bring up the show a lot, though. There's actually I run into a lot of people on campus that are part of the gang.
Yeah, well, you should carry a sign through the quad that says "Listen to the Ross Bowen Podcast."
Are you gonna make that part of my intern duties now?
No, no, gang, Michael. Gang, what gang. Are you gonna quit?
You know, I've been thinking about this, and I'm not really sure. But I will know by tomorrow.
Wow. Well, tomorrow we'll find out at least what Mike is going to quit. I don't know if AJ's going to be here. But, yeah. Tight?
I'll be listening, though.
What was this segment about? Preparing for quitting day 2.0.
Yeah.
Okay, that wasn't a tangent. That was actually the topic we were supposed to
topic,
be.
You're on topic, pal.
I'm fucking doing it. I'm a professional.
We're just going deep for a second.
Love it. Next segment. A word from our sponsor, Royal Hynes. This is a story that began as a quest to create the perfect boxer short. Royal Hynes viewed it as locating the perfect home for the family jewels. It needed to be a custom home, handmade, including a spacious ballroom with full seating and a sturdy front entrance so that no one slips out unexpectedly. This home should be built with the finest 400 thread count Pima cotton with virtually no shrinkage on the part of the underwear, that is. Through the years, they have grown to include loungewear extraordinaire for the entire family. Behold, this is me presenting to you Royal Hynes. It's the only place that deserves to house all the family jewels. You can go to royalhynes.com and use the code RBP for free shipping on your order on Royal Hynes. royalhynes.com. To check out Royal Hynes today. They're also on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Royal Hynes. And they've got great robes, very comfortable boxer shorts. I do believe they may have, in fact, succeeded in their quest to create the perfect boxer short. If you're a boxers guy and you're looking for something that's not a like a brief, a boxer brief or a whitey tighty to sleep in at night, what an option they have at Royal Hynes. My God, they're comfortable. Again, RBP for free shipping. Next segment, Netflix dump. So I watched a whole bunch of shit recently on Netflix. The weather's been trash. And I was like, man, you know what? Instead of having to do a bunch of different segments on a bunch of different shit, I'm just going to dump on everybody. AJ, I'm going to dump on you. I'm going to dump on Micah. Netflix dump. First, Murder Mountain. It's a documentary exploring Humboldt. It's an area in Northern California's marijuana farms, both legal and illegal. This Murder Mountain provides a glimpse into what it takes for an outlaw farmer to cross over to the legal market. It's a very complicated situation. There are growers in Northern California who have been growing weed for generations. And now that it's been legalized, there's this process of going from an outlaw to a legal market. It's very, very complicated. Lots of people have died on Murder Mountain. There's a reason it's called Murder Mountain. And it's very interesting. I highly recommend this documentary, Murder Mountain. It is not brand new. I'm aware of that. But it is very good. I'm like three episodes deep. If you're interested in weed, if you're interested in true crime, this covers a lot of bases for me. And it's very good so far. So I can recommend it at least to get started. Velvet Buzzsaw. New movie on Netflix. Here's the description. After paintings by an unknown artist are discovered, a supernatural force enacts revenge on those who have allowed their greed to get in the way of art. Interesting concept. It's got some big names in it. It's got Jake Gyllenhaal, Rene Russo, John Malkovich. Those are big name A stars. Velvet Buzzsaw was a bit of a letdown. It was pretty weird and artsy, kind of fun to watch Stone, but then it just didn't deliver. I can't. Honestly, like, if you're real stoned, fuck it, watch it. But if you're just regular person, like, it's not good. It's just my opinion, man. Sex Education, new Netflix show starring Gillian Anderson. Is she married now? I don't know. Gillian Anderson is how I know her. I didn't watch it. I watched like the first episode and a half, and it was a weird day for me or something. And I was like, I'm out. Taylor watched it by herself. Here's her review. It was awesome. It was nice to be watching something that wasn't about a murder, and it was really well done, and Gillian Flynn is a total babe, she said.
Actually seen it too. And
You like Sex Education? You watch Sex Education?
Well, I checked it out because I just wanted to see what it was about.
Yeah.
I didn't like it, though. I don't know what language or the accent. I think it was filmed in the UK, I want to assume.
Yeah, they're British.
or yeah, British,
I think.
Which is just hard to, you know, to make out that accent a lot of times. So that was a big one right there.
You gotta be a subtitle boy, AJ.
Yeah, I don't know. I try to power through it, but
I feel you.
I wasn't that into the
story. I've been
story
trying not
anyway
to use subtitles as much too.
Yeah,
that could be a thing you quit. Subtitles.
Oh yeah, that's a good yeah. Subtitles.
Boom. Yeah. Any other thoughts on sex education? The show specifically? No? Okay, good. I still love The Punisher. I'm still going. I should finish up with season one this week. It is badass. I can't wait for season two. I watched several episodes of Trump, An American Dream. It's a Netflix, it's a documentary on Netflix. I don't know if it's a Netflix documentary. Let me say this. I'm not a Trump fan. Like, I acknowledge him as the king of content, and his accomplishments are irrefutably insane. But I didn't vote for him, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend that maybe I did just so more people will listen to the show, because that's some weak shit, and I'm going to be real with y'all always. But even as a dude who isn't necessarily super into the fact that Trump is running our country, and for the record, I wasn't excited for the prospect of Hillary Clinton running the country either. She was as lovable as a porcupine. But even as a dude who isn't into Trump, this documentary is so fucking absurdly entertaining. This man's life and everyone surrounding him throughout the entire course of it are so unique and weird and New York, and it's just madness. So I do recommend watching Trump, An American Dream, if you can stomach it.
What is it, like autobiographical? Or?
Yes, it's about his life from essentially young adulthood through the presidency. And like, for instance, Micah can't watch this. He'd end up killing himself or throwing his TV through a window. I can. And because I appreciate the absurdity of this fucking thing.
Did you see, have you watched Get Me Roger Stone yet?
Not yet, but I will
I watched
be watching
it.
That.
So
oh, yeah,
can,
I want to watch that too. I forgot all about it.
Oh, shit, yeah, dude. Okay, I'll watch that in the next couple of days too, and we'll talk about that this week for sure.
That is another Netflix choice. I'll just say I enjoyed it.
You did? Okay, good. Because
yeah,
if it sucked dick, then I don't want to go watch it.
No, it's worth a watch.
Okay,
it's worth
good,
a watch. It's
good.
Pretty quick documentary, and it's fun.
Nice.
I mean, fun may not be the right word, but it's good. It's
fun.
Worth watching.
Fun is not the right word, probably. Here's some great movies on Netflix right now. It's saving you a lot of trouble. Pulp Fiction, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Ex Machina, Hell or High Water, Silence of the Lambs, The Dark Knight, The Departed, The Fighter, The Pianist, No Country for Old Men, Good Will Hunting, L.A. Confidential, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, The Theory of Everything, Room, Dallas Buyers Club, Her, Dances with Wolves, The Interview, American Gangster, Watchmen, Cool Hand Luke, Schindler's List, that's like an all-time fucking favorite of mine, even though it's incredibly depressing. It's just such a good movie. The King's Speech, The Graduate, Casino Royale, Wind River, and The Birdcage. I recommend all those. Every single one of them. Like
all hits.
I'll personally vouch for every single one of those movies. So if you haven't seen any of the movies I just named, they're all on Netflix right now. I just thought that was like an astounding amount. Like, those are all like arguably classic movies. Every single one of the ones I just listed. Well, with the exception of a few. Like, I don't think anybody's arguing for Her to be in like the top 25 greatest of all time or anything like that. But shit ton of very good classic movies on that list I just named. So if you're looking for something to watch on Netflix, fucking get you some. All right. Next segment. Micah reading rap lyrics. If you've never heard this segment before, if this is your first Micah reading rap lyrics, essentially the concept is this. Micah's voice is not a voice that you would typically hear saying the things that are said in rap songs. So when he says those things, it is funny. It's comedic, humorous. As a result, we like to do this thing where we pick a particularly absurd rap song, like today's, which is Chicken Head by Project Pat. And then we have Micah read those lyrics for us a cappella so that we can enjoy his voice saying the things that Project Pat has already said. Micah, take it away with Project Pat's Chicken Head.
Walk, walk, chicken, chicken. Walk, walk, chicken heads. Walk, walk, chicken, chicken. Walk, walk, chicken heads. Walk, walk, chicken, chicken. Walk, walk, chicken heads.
Boy, please,
walk,
whatever.
Walk, walk, chicken, chicken. Walk, walk, chicken heads. Walk, walk, chicken, chicken. Walk, walk, chicken
boy,
heads.
Please, whatever.
Walk, walk, chicken, chicken. Walk, walk, chicken heads. Walk, walk, chicken, chicken. Walk, walk, chicken heads. Walk, walk, chicken, chicken. Walk, walk,
I mean,
chicken
is,
heads.
This is absurd. Where's the lyrics?
Bald head scallywag, ain't got no hair in the back. Gelled up, weaved up, yo hair is messed up. Need to get out
but a hustle mission. Get up on loot run to beautician.
Beautician.
Run game until game is gravy. That don't mean spin cheese for they baby. Walk block on a stock stock for a bootleg. Block block, pretty walk walk, giving out head. Ain't no thing, eat a chicken wing. Got some gold teeth at the club trying to shake that thing.
Yeah.
Trying to get a piece, chicken chicken, always into some dumb shit. Should have paid y'all light bill. You bought an outfit.
Mistake.
Stay at your mammy's house and keep a smart mouth. It's Project Pat, Memphis 10, represent the South. So pass the dro-dro and we gon' stay ticking. Full of that Momo, holla at a chicken.
Wow.
Walk, walk, chicken, chicken.
No, for the love of
God. We're going through
walk,
this again.
Walk, chicken heads.
Boy, please, whatever. Okay, so that's obviously one of the greatest of all time.
It's very entertaining.
Project Pat songs. There's a lot more blocking than you remember until you have actually Micah reading the lyrics to you. It's, man, that's...
Shouts to all the chicken heads out there.
That's one of those first rap songs I ever heard where I was like, this chorus is truly, truly terrible and also incredible at the same time. Like, I knew when I played that song in front of my mom that she was going to be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But I did it anyway because
it's a classic of the genre.
This song is dope, you know? My favorite part's when they got the guy and the girl, Project Pat and La Chat, talking back and forth. And he's like, yeah, you like my outfit. Don't even fake the deal. And she says, I thought you said you had your girl on the light bill. Always in my face, talking this and that. Girl, I had to buy some rims for the Cadillac. You riding clean, but your gas tank is on E. Be stepping out, ain't got no decent shoes on your feet. That's just the meter broke. You don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, them new Jordans finna come out. I mean, this is the best. This is the best lyric writing of all time. And I just did a female and the male voices for a part of it, which will never, ever happen again. So, appreciate that. Can we move on?
Yeah,
you guys look freaked out. You guys look like your brains just exploded.
I didn't know I was possible.
Wow.
I was capable of something as
Let's move on. Here's a little information for you. Postage rates have gone up yet again. Thankfully, Stamps.com can ease the pain with big discounts off post office retail rates. With Stamps.com, you save 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off priority mail. That kind of savings really adds up, especially for small businesses. Plus, Stamps.com is completely online, which saves you time. No more inconvenient trips to the post office. They automatically calculate and print the exact amount of postage you need for every letter or package you send, so you'll never overpay or underpay again. They bring all the services of the U.S. Post Office right to your fingertips at Stamps.com, where you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, or any class of mail using your own computer and printer. They make it so easy. They'll send you a free digital scale, automatically calculate the exact amount of postage you need for every single package, and they'll even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. They give you postage discounts that you cannot get at the post office, including 5 cents off every first-class stamp. Save money at Stamps.com. Anything you can do at the post office, you can now do from your desk for less. That's why I use Stamps.com. Right now, RBP gang, you got a special offer from Stamps.com that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. See for yourself why over 700,000 small businesses use Stamps.com. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in RBP. That's Stamps.com. Enter RBP after you click on that microphone at the top of the homepage. Next segment. Take care of yourself. So I wanted to take a segment to reiterate something a little more serious that, again, I think too often slips to the back of our minds and kind of to the bottom of our priority lists as human beings with everything we have going on in the world, with relationships, work, and kids, and bank accounts, and investments, and pets, and money, and school. Our bodies are so important, and we only get one of these things, and if you fucking wreck it, it's really hard to get it back into good shape so that you can enjoy this world to the fullest extent with the time that you have on it. And I think too many of us get caught up in our heads. We never learn to respect our bodies the way that we should. Like, it's just not at the forefront of your mind. Like, as you're going through your day doing the things you do, you're not considering your body and what it's going through. Too often, I think this is the case with the hustle and bustle of life. And There's just, I mean, there's nobody there when you become an adult. Like, you realize this as you get to college, especially, to tell you, like, hey, you're really slipping with your diet. You're eating fast food too often, or, like, whatever, get your shit together. Like, there's nobody there to do that for you when you're an adult. And when you get older, it's even more often that situation comes up. Like, I'm 31. At least once a day, I'm like, fuck, I wish somebody would give me the answer about this conundrum I'm in. But it just doesn't work that way. You got to take care of yourself and learn to respect your body the way you should. So in light of quitting day 2.0, I just wanted to say that I am definitely a person who struggles with this routinely. Like, I mean, dude, I love food so fucking much. And like, I don't drink anymore, so it's a lot easier to keep weight off. But it's still something you got to keep an eye on, you know what I mean? Like, I intentionally every day do not eat what I want to eat because the things I want to eat are terrible for me. So I try to go the other way. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll get a smoothie or whatever instead of I want Popeyes. Like, if I wanted to, I'd just eat fucking Popeyes for every meal. But I can't do that because I'll die at like 42. And then nobody will be able to do the show. That would just suck. So, unfortunately for me, I have incredible genetics. So I don't think I have done or did nearly as much damage to my body as a lot of people have. But I do forget that I only get this one body. Like, this is it. And that's something you got to remember. Like, every cigarette, every line of coke, every fucking thing that you put into your body, this is it. So anything you do to the meter, the time meter on that, you're fucking, it's permanent. And this is important too. You can't let the pressure of this idea override your entire existence either. That's the thing. You have to find a balance, right? That's what makes life so fucking incredibly difficult. I might just start dripping hot candle wax on my balls. Micah, give us your thoughts on taking care of yourself. As a guy who has gone through rigorous training and optimized himself, and also a guy who loves to crush Mexican martinis and meatloaf and shit. Do you even like meatloaf? I just wrote that.
Not particularly.
Is that libel or slander? It's one of the two.
Slander, because I believe it's written.
Thank you, intern AJ. I hope you're right, or else the internet's going to make fun. Anyway, give us your thoughts on taking care of yourself.
I think
just say it's good.
It's a good thing to do. You know, generally the golden rule applies here, that all things in moderation.
It's not the golden rule, you horse's ass.
It's a golden rule. It's one that applies here.
Oh.
It applies to everything.
The golden rule is,
I've just realized personally that the reason I do all this stupid shit is because I need a goal.
69. Yeah, yeah, okay.
That's how I operate. I've got to have especially in the fitness realm.
Ah.
Like, I have to have a goal for something to shoot for.
And
I
that,
can't just
that's a good
I can't
point.
Just like I'm running this half marathon on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have no idea what I'm going to do on Monday to like continue to exercise.
You need something to keep
like,
you structured.
I'm going to have to come up with something
motivated,
or I'm not going to roll out of bed Monday morning at 7 a.m. and get a 6 mile jog in. Like,
I think it's time for
happen.
another fight. You got to get that going. Find
Are
your next
you fucking
opponent.
Challenging me, AJ?
Don't do that,
me?
AJ. That's a mistake.
No, you're like five times my size.
Thank you.
Yeah, that would have been a mistake. Jared and Mike, that's the fight I want to see. Jared and Mike. You almost fought in the studio last episode. That was close.
I hate him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But, you know, live a good life. I always feel like, you know, you just have to realize that everything you do has an equal and opposite reaction.
Got to find that balance, man.
So you got to find the balance. If you're doing something good for yourself, you know, keep doing it. If you want to just do the best things for yourself, you want to optimize your life,
yeah,
you know, go for it. More power to you.
Yeah.
I think
if you want to, you crazy ass.
Yeah, do whatever you want.
Shit's hard. I'm just saying, I think this is something that too often is too far in the back of a lot of our minds. Obviously, you people out there optimizing yourselves are not one of those people. But me and a lot of people, if it falls to the back of your mind, it shouldn't be at the front of your mind either, in my opinion. It should be just somewhere closer to the middle or past the middle, possibly a little bit. Just take care of yourself. That's all I'm saying. Next segment. The Grammys recap. So I watched like, I don't know, 10 minutes. I heard the Lady Gaga performance, then I watched it, and then I watched it like on, you know, YouTube later, because I was playing Apex Legends and I didn't want to get up and go in the other room to watch the Grammys. I'm a Grammys guy, for the record. I just, for whatever reason this year, I wasn't fucking interested. And I went into the room at one point and watched about 15 minutes, but that's it. So I can't really give you a Grammys recap. The good news is, Micah and AJ can.
Yes.
So I'm going to let them do that.
Well, before we get to AJ, I'll just say I'm a big Grammys guy, too. It's my favorite award show. I like music. I like the obscure categories.
Yeah.
I like the performances. I like the tributes.
You find out about a lot of new artists this way.
Yeah, and I just, I like all of it. It's interesting. In the year that my girlfriend has been here, she listens exclusively to like top 40 bullshit.
Yeah.
So I hear a lot of these songs that I otherwise wouldn't be familiar with. Now that everybody listens to podcasts and, or, you know, Spotify, if it weren't for her, I would be exposed to almost none of the like top 40 pop performers.
You wouldn't hear any of the new music.
Just because nobody listens to the radio anymore. You just don't even stumble upon it.
Right, yeah.
So it's always interesting. I always like to play a game of how many minutes into the show will they introduce someone I've never heard of and couldn't pick out of a line.
Right.
And that happened pretty quickly last night. But I enjoyed it. And AJ told me that this is the first time he'd ever watched the entire Grammy. Is that right, AJ?
Yeah, this is the first time I've watched it from beginning to end. You know, in previous years, I would catch bits and pieces of it. But I don't know, for some reason this year, I was just like, I'm going to sit down, watch the whole 3-4 hours of the program. And I have to say, it was okay.
That's most people's main knock on the Grammys, is that it's like, it's a very, very long show.
3.5 hours scheduled, and then it goes long.
Yeah.
The other thing that people have an issue with is, like, they only give out like 5 awards during the show. The Grammy Awards, they give out like 80 different awards
outside,
but they only give out like 5
outside
and then
the public.
A couple of them today,
broadcast.
A couple of them last night. Daniel Glover won a bunch of stuff for Childish Gambino.
He wasn't even there,
and the people, you know, nobody cares about anybody else.
Jesus was accepting there was another, awards for him.
Yeah, it was weird. All right, let's go through some of the performances. And AJ, we're gonna play a game.
Yeah.
Where we say one sentence or less about each performance.
All right, yeah, let's do it.
Okay, we'll start with the opening. It was Camila Cabello singing her song Havana with Ricky Martin and some famous trumpetist.
Not a fan.
I feel like this song, okay, what were your thoughts, AJ?
So I like Ricky Martin. It was cool seeing him back in action
again. The mustache.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, Ricky Martin, I forgot to mention, was in the assassination of Gianni Versace. He played Gianni Versace's boyfriend / business partner, and anyway, I hadn't seen Ricky Martin in like 15 years, and I was like, holy shit, it's Ricky fucking Martin. He looks great.
Camila Cabello, my opinion, kind of a lightweight. This song,
I'm not really a fan of her. I don't like that song.
This song feels like a million years old.
It's so overplayed.
She won Best New Artist like last year at the Grammys, and this is it seemed old. That was my first thought.
That can't be the opener, dude.
That was the first
song. Yeah, no, it really was.
That can't be the opener.
Now, to be clear, it was one of these things where they had sort of West Side Story imagery, and it looked cool on TV, but
yeah, visually.
Like, that song just doesn't really – that nobody gets hyped here.
I need, like, Song of the Year candidates to open the Grammys.
This is like a song from a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
It just nobody's hyped to hear – other than Will DeFreeze to hear Camila Cabello.
That's true.
Let's see. Alicia Keys hosted. Do you have any thoughts on Alicia Keys hosting, on her in general?
No, I thought it was pretty good. I like her whenever she's kind of like just like doing her thing with the piano and everything. Like when she like the whole thing when she had
talented.
The two pianos and she was doing that whole thing.
She's
super talented.
I found that
like,
segment confusing, but we'll get to that.
I love Alicia Keys, but the 15 minutes that I watched, I found her to be less than electric as a host.
Yeah, yes. as a host, I wouldn't recommend her. She should have just been a performer.
She seems very sincere.
Too sincere.
I think she's a very genuine human being.
The girlfriend found her to be too over the top.
It seemed a little phony at times.
About music bringing us together in love.
I think that's really how she is, though. Like, she's just that type of
person.
That's
really how she is?
Yeah. So, obviously, I didn't hold that against her. That's
I think she has that whole attitude.
She brought out Lady Gaga, Jada Pinkett Smith, Michelle Obama, and Jennifer Lopez, and they talked about women stuff. I thought that segment was weird. I don't know why Jada Pinkett was there, because she's not a musician, but we'll just keep moving.
She's a Scientologist.
Lady Gaga, she is?
Is that Will Smith's wife?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. They're deep, 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 deep in the game.
Janelle Monáe was the next performer? Are you
not at all. All
right, so I saw this performance.
Okay.
I like Janelle Monáe quite a bit. I always forget she exists, though.
Yes. I feel the exact same way.
I'm like, oh, shit, it's Janelle Monáe again, because she's on the Grammys every year.
She's actually like an established artist at this point.
Oh, the Grammys love Janelle Monáe.
No, she is, but she's always, but she's the only
like
time
an
I see her is the Grammys. I never hear like...
I feel she used to be in a Gap campaign for like a year.
I remember that. I remember those
Gap commercials. But I didn't know she had a new album out. And I always liked, she's one of these people, she's very talented.
Yeah.
I like her dance moves. She seems like a likable human. I've read interviews with her. She identifies as pansexual, which I find interesting.
I don't even know what that means.
It means you fuck in a pile. That's what it means.
Just fuck anything, basically.
Oh, let's go.
She's attracted to everything, which is, you know, whatever. I'm into it.
Just motorboating America.
I like her. And I think she's a good performer. I just never think about her. My girlfriend had no idea who she was. I was like, you shop at The Gap. And she's on every poster for The Gap. But anyway, that's enough. Childish Gambino
wins, shops at The Gap doesn't show up. All right. Good to know.
Post Malone's performance was fucking trash.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. That was terrible. And like we were discussing briefly beforehand, Post Malone did a similar performance with Aerosmith
at the MTV Awards.
So it's basically just regurgitating that whole deal.
And it sucked then, and it sucked.
Let me ask y'all something.
And of course, this was with your friends, the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah. Oh my God. So this I did not hear or see. Thank fucking God. Anyway. Let me ask you something. You ever been in a situation where somebody points out to you that something is bad and you didn't notice before that person pointed it out to you, and then once they've pointed it out to you, you can't
go back?
Someone pointed out to me that Post Malone is kind of garbage, and now I can't go back.
Was that your eyes or your ears?
It was.
Or both?
It was neither. It was like another human being. It was like somebody made a joke about his album, and I remember thinking, that joke was funny and true. And it was about how his album was just kind of like a bitching and moaning, like every single song. He's like,
Well, that's his whole aim to fame. I mean, that's his whole style.
It is. But once you start thinking about things in the perspective of what he brings to the table, you start to falter on your fanship a bit. That's what happened to me anyway. I'm just saying. This is an example. Post Malone is one of those people. Somebody threw him under the bus for me, and I haven't been able to recover and come back to being a fan. Like, Post Malone to me is now the joke I make about like that's what Dylan listens to all day. You know what I'm saying? Like, because Dylan loved that album so much.
I was gonna say he actually loved.
He's
that
one of the
album.
People who destroyed that album for me is because he overplayed the fuck out of it, and it just is funny because that's what I think of when I think of Post Malone is making fun of Dylan for listening to Post Malone like alone in his apartment recovering from a breakup or whatever because it's hilarious.
That is funny.
And for the record, those motherfuckers talk about my personal shit all the time, so I'm allowed to say one thing. But anyway,
Posty is trash.
Posty fell into that category,
and
for
now
me.
You can't. He could do a million great things, and you're just like, he's garbage.
And
he's
I hate how they try. Like, I hate how they do these mashups that just fundamentally
just stop it
on paper.
They
you're
also
like,
do the
what?
Thing that the Grammy Awards do, where like be it like a former boy band member or a rapper or whatever, and they have them come out and play guitar to like show that like, oh, they can play other instruments.
Musicians are multifaceted artists, Micah.
To the Grammys performance trope that other award shows don't do, and they try and show that, oh, this guy's a real musician. Post Malone comes out and plays guitar and sings a song for a minute, and it's just like, you're not a very good singer, and you're not
mediocre
a great guitar
at best.
Player.
Yeah.
I will say typically...
Just rap. You're a rapper. Do your rap thing.
Typically with artists that can pull that off, I think it's a cool aspect of the Grammys, but with Posty, that's already part of his whole shtick, the guitar thing, but he just doesn't play out well for a TV performance, man, based on the fact that he looks like...
He's apparently a terrible performer in every way.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, there was a Washington Post...
I thought he was supposed to be like a brilliant musician and incredible performer.
Yeah, there was
performer.
A Washington Post piece. Maybe we'll make it a Rhea of the Week at some point where they just savage the guy.
Okay.
All right, we'll
move
keep
on
moving.
From Posty.
And the Red
Sorry.
Hot Chili Peppers were there, too.
Oh,
it just,
them.
None
fuck
of it
all.
Worked. It didn't really come together.
No.
Then there was the Dolly Parton
tribute.
Oh, wait,
I heard Clitus took his shirt off. And then everybody was like, why is Clitus taking his shirt off?
It's kind of what he does. Yeah. At least he didn't pull his
well,
hog
but he,
out.
Yeah, I know it's kind of what he does, but he's like 70 fucking years old, dude.
Yeah,
like,
he's weird
if your
looking
nipples
too.
Are sagging, the shirt ripping off days are over
I don't know.
For
Iggy
you.
Pop still takes his shirt off, and he's like maybe 70.
That's a different type of deal. He's British. Is
anyway, there was the Dolly Parton tribute.
Oh, I did like that one.
Which was good.
She performed that new song. I guess she had a new song that she wrote or released.
I walked out for this. I saw this. I don't remember.
Katy Perry, Casey Musgraves, Maren Morris, Little Big Town, and Miley Cyrus all joined her on stage.
I could do without that whole duet. I would have just watched just Dolly just it's do
like
her
a
thing. Because I feel like she still has it.
Dolly.
She can still hold a note.
I don't understand how she stands upright. I don't. Those things are just cannons, man. Cannons.
Yeah,
I'm
well
talking
done.
About her breasts.
Yes. Excellent
yes,
plastic
okay.
surgery.
All right.
We can move on to Cardi B's performance, which was trash.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say. I know we're a Cardi B podcast, but
we are a Cardi B podcast.
Yeah,
I agree.
Must protect her at all costs. At all costs. Yeah.
Yeah. Jinx.
Couple of notes from the Cardi B performance, which appeared to be just like a cabaret show. Apparently, she has a Vegas residency coming, so I'm sure this is basically what it's going to be.
Not surprised.
There were just like 30 women doing stripper moves and her doing stripper moves.
Yeah,
that was it. And it wasn't a song that I've heard before.
Oh, that's dope. That sounds dope to me.
It wasn't dope. I will
go see Cardi B the fucking opening weekend in Vegas that she's there.
Well, maybe you will. I can't do that. Thank you. Alicia Keys did the thing where she played two pianos at once.
I thought that was kind of cool.
I thought it was trash, AJ. I'm just going to tell you why. It was totally unnecessary. We know Alicia Keys is talented. She just sang a bunch of cover songs from classics that weren't a part of this year's. It'd be weird. It'd be one thing if she did this year's top songs.
Okay.
And Alicia Keys puts a spin on it. Said it was just like her singing songs from the 70s. It was weird. I mean, she's fine, but it didn't do anything for me.
She's also literally fine. Shouts to the fact that I don't think she's worn makeup in like 7,000 days.
Yeah,
she's
just naturally
and
very
she's
pretty.
Just naturally smoke. And shouts to Just Blaze because what a great job by him. Wow.
Yeah, Just Blaze, I have learned, has like four children or five children with like four different women.
Yeah.
And he still managed to score that.
Yeah, he's
so
Just
he
Blaze.
He carries some baggage into the situation, but shouts to him.
Hey, we all got baggage. He just got some, it is what it is.
Drake won an award and actually showed up and received it, which is always nice.
Cool.
And he
tried to play that whole, I wasn't expecting to get this.
What did he win?
Best rap.
Was it song?
Let's see.
No,
best.
Because Childish won that.
No, was it rap album? No, it wasn't rap album because I think Cardi won best rap album.
Yeah,
right?
He won the best rap song for
okay,
God's
yeah, song.
He
yeah,
got cut
God's
off
God's
doing
point.
His... His speech, it says.
Yeah, he did his thing, though. That was good. There were two country people named Dan and Shay.
Okay.
Who have a song, which I have heard, called Tequila.
It's not bad.
The song itself is just weak, and there's nothing to it. But I will say that Dan or Shay, whoever it is who does the singing,
who knows
best rap
too.
Song
sings
is what
pretty
Jake
well.
We have Drake one, not Jake.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Whoever Dan or Shay, whichever one's the singer, a pretty strong vocal performance. I will give them some credit.
That's what I'm saying. Not bad. It was pretty good.
Yeah. And then, now we'll talk about Gaga. She then performed Shallow.
I think she tore it down with that performance.
I heard,
as expected.
I heard it from my from living room to my office, and I was playing Apex Legends, and it was just, I was aroused.
Here's my issue with her performance last night. She was full on Gaga, and she was not whatever her
character.
The character.
Oh, you
from
want
the
her
stars
to stay
born.
In character.
Because she was wearing like a full David Bowie Ziggy Stardust, like sparkly bodysuit.
Bro, that song
and
is
she was, like,
a
just...
career defining song. She's got to come out peacocking as hard as possible.
And I'm sure she's going to sing it again in two weeks from now at the Oscars. And she'll probably do it. Bradley Cooper last night.
He'll probably be at the
Oscars.
So
it was just like her being full Gaga. And she slid.
Also,
she can sing. Like,
love this move. Love the strategy. No Bradley Cooper last night. Bradley Cooper will fucking absolutely be a part of the performance. You bet your sweet ass.
Bet your ass.
It's going to build the anticipation.
They might open with that bitch, and that's why. It's
I was really hoping for a Lucas Nelson appearance last
night.
Okay,
yeah.
That would have been great to let him sing.
He does seem to just pop up. Anytime I see somebody with straight long hair that's a white man with a scruffy face, I'm like, hey, it's Lucas Nelson.
One thing I noticed from the Gaga performance, she has Paul McCartney's drummer. Playing drums.
Yeah, did you notice that? Yeah.
Did you notice this?
Yeah, no, I did. Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about? The bald black guy?
I don't know his name. But yeah.
I don't know his name either. But he's been with McCartney for many years.
I definitely noticed that.
This segment is going long, but so did the Grammys. Let's continue. We had the Diana Ross tribute thing.
Yeah.
The best part of that was her 9-year-old grandson who came out. He was tight. The rest of this was just pretty fucking lame.
Did the kid dab? Did he dab?
Did you know that Diana Ross has never actually won a Grammy, but yet
really?
She won the Lifetime Achievement Award?
I walked by
Awards?
The TV when this was out there, and I was like, who are those three women that are tributing to her?
I think...
Yolanda Davis and two other chicks.
And they're women whose names
well, that was,
I obviously
that was the
know.
Aretha Franklin tribute.
Yeah, oh,
that
I'm
was,
sorry.
That
I'm
a,
sorry.
That's
I'm
okay. We'll get to that.
See, I don't know anything.
Next up was Travis Scott performing.
I like that performance because he didn't do Sicko Mode. He did No Bystanders, which I like.
Good move.
The performance was pretty dope because he was like inside a steel cage, and he had fans come out and surround the cage, and he was just like raging inside and like, you know, doing his thing, like jumping on the cage, and like he crowd surfed for a little bit.
That was well said. He did his thing, which I will say is not my thing. And we'll just move
on. Oh, that's me as a fan.
That's so fair.
He did what he does. He brings a lot of energy. You can't understand
like
shit
it.
He's saying.
Well, I love his music, first of all, but I think he's super fun in a festival environment. I don't think that plays well on the Grammys necessarily.
Where it's a more conservative.
Yes. Imagine if you put on a tuxedo and you're singing in the audience.
Right.
It's hard to stand up and jump up and down and scream motherfucker.
Travis Scott's for like getting blackout or fucking high as shit and just like fucking jumping. Jumping around and going shit fucking crazy.
That's his thing.
The Grammys is like, look at how prestigious we all are.
Well, that's why Cardi B's performance was so, you know, outlandish, I guess you can say, because of what we were just talking about, how the Grammys are so conservative.
It cracks me up how people get upset, like, oh, Cardi brought out all the strip. Cardi was a stripper, you idiot.
Can't forget where you came from.
No, and it's funny to me how people get upset about the sexuality of Cardi's stuff. That's never going away. We lost this battle 40 years ago.
That's true.
People,
okay,
well,
let's keep moving.
Yeah, let's.
We've got the Motown tribute starring Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah.
That's a South Park joke, not me being racist,
of
just to be clear.
Go ahead, AJ. I feel like you got a take here.
Well, I don't know why they chose her.
Nobody knows. Nobody
knows. It just
seemed
like an odd choice to choose her to do this very long tribute. She did like this whole tribute.
Motown.
Just Motown. She went through numerous
hits. It's the 60th anniversary of Motown. And
I would have expected like a straight up black person from Motown.
Yes, instead of having a legacy built on black people from Detroit, we have a Puerto Rican woman from New York.
Yeah, it was very.
She's from the Bronx. She's Jenny from the block.
Yeah, that is New York.
Then you had Neo.
Let me say that, Neo showed up at the end and Smokey
Robinson
was there.
Did he have his hat on?
Does
he still wear that hat?
He did have a hat.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fucked. It's been 15 years. Take that hat off.
Let me say this. Jennifer Lopez is an amazing dancer. She was clearly lip syncing. She was the most blatant lip syncer.
Yeah, she's been lip syncing for about 15, 20 years.
Yeah, that's what she does. She's an amazing performer. This whole choreographed thing that she did for 15 minutes of Motown hits was an amazing Vegas show.
She's 49 years old, for the record.
This
49.
Was a Vegas
she
residency
still looks amazing
show.
Too.
She looks good.
She looks incredible.
A-Rod. She's doing backflips and shit. It was very impressive.
She did a backflip?
Yeah. Like some dude
some
like
weird.
Flipped her. She was doing cartwheels.
Okay.
It was fucking
I was
crazy.
Say, if a 49-year-old woman could do a standing backflip, we need to put
not
her on,
the heels she was
on an Olympic team of some kind.
But like Jennifer Lopez did this as well as like clearly the producer's like, let's do a big dancing musical like this is a Vegas where she did a 15-minute Vegas thing, which is fine. It's a Motown, like, it's just totally unnecessary. And I'm upset
for, yeah,
about
not
it.
For a Motown tribute.
And I don't care about any sort of racial thing. It's just, like, Motown is, like, some of the best music ever made.
It's iconic.
And we've turned it into a 15-minute dance routine
Jennifer
Lopez.
Like making
a strong dance routine.
I like making everything about race.
Well, we have that.
So that's what I'm going to continue.
All right, let's continue. Her. Have you ever heard of her? H-E-R.
I have.
It's funny. There's a song on Arian Foster's album by the name of H.E.R. And that's also the name of a common song way back in the day. It's also that's.
I don't think there's no correlation though.
There isn't at all.
I had no idea who this woman was. I have to be honest. She's now 21 years old. She won Best R&B Album, and then when she got up to accept the award, she's like, "This actually isn't an album. It was just an LP."
She crushed it. By
the
way,
she did perform and was excellent.
Yeah, she was very
talented.
I saw
the performance, dude. The performance was nasty. I'd never seen this chick before. I'd never heard her name in my entire fucking life, which again concerns me. I can't tell if I should be concerned. I'm in an age where it
should
could
I know
be concerning.
This? I was wondering the same thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
dude.
She was an indie artist for a while, and then she just kind of had some hits.
She wasn't an indie artist, AJ, because she signed at a major record label when she was 14 years old.
Oh, excuse
but,
me. Oh, I guess
you know maybe she was underground.
I guess I just assumed because
she
she's
in,
not really out there
let's
like
keep
that.
Moving.
She was on Radio Disney.
Okay, great. Chloe and Halle, former YouTube stars and sisters, sang... They played a tribute to Donny Hathaway, singing a flawless rendition of "Where Is the Love," his duet with from 1972 with Roberta Flack. These chicks could sing. I was in on them.
Yeah, no, they're really good for sure.
I was impressed, and I didn't know they are apparently signed to Beyonce's record label.
Yeah, that's...
which I thought of early Destiny's Child here. So shouts to them. Cardi B won Best Rap Album. Gave an emotional speech, which was kind of boring.
I saw her speech.
But kind of emotional.
I saw the speech. That was an incredibly...
First woman to win that award.
I look, man, I even liked her album. But to say that that was the rap album of the year is just wildly inaccurate. Anyway, Grammys don't fucking matter.
They never get that one.
Yeah, no.
That's just such a bad pick.
Someone named Dua Lipa. Am I saying this right, AJ?
Yeah, no, you're saying it right.
She won the Best New Artist, and she did a performance with Saint Vincent,
who you're familiar
who
with.
Who is my personal favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Texas-born Annie Clark. Texas on top, by the way. I just want to let everybody know. Texas really runs things. The Grammys, the thing I like the best about the Grammys, we had Leon Bridges giving out awards, Travis Scott performing. A lot of Texans are just really...
We're doing it.
It's king shit. And then whatever the chick is who won everything, she's a Texan too. Dua Lipa, I've seen this name before, but I didn't know that was how you said her name. Her thing with St. Vincent was quite erotic.
Yeah, Ross, I saw your tweet about that, right?
I thought they were a duo. I'd never seen these two chicks before. I was very aroused.
Again, they did like a weird mashup of both of their songs, which just was unnecessary.
But hot.
I was just drawn to the chemistry.
I wanted those two tall women to choke me, you know?
Yeah. Then you had the Aretha Franklin tribute, which is perfect. You just get three chicks that can sing their fucking balls off, and you let them sing.
Rightfully
Andra
so, yeah.
Andra Day Fantasia, who I believe was on American Idol like a decade ago, and Yolanda
Adams.
Her. And
damn,
they just sing their fucking nuts
off.
They
balls
killed
to the wall.
That's perfect.
That
you need that, though. Aretha
I don't need
Franklin.
Dancing. I just need those three chicks
to
really
powerful
sing.
Powerful vocals.
Yeah, and let's see. I think there was only one more performance, if I'm not mistaken. Casey Musgraves won Best Album of the Year. That's,
yeah, can I
that's
speak on that?
Award.
That was
go ahead. She's also a Texan.
I just want to make a PSA to rap Twitter, because there are a lot of rap nominees in this category. Casey winning is a very, very unexpected pick. Like, I feel like it was a very wild card choice. But I'm fine with it. And I think we should just let her have this moment, you know. Like me, as a Travis Scott fan, I would have loved to have seen Astroworld, you know, win that award. Or even Ross as a Push fan, he would have loved to see Daytona win.
I just wanted to see him get rap album. Not album of the year, but I definitely didn't expect
to
see Casey.
You said it was album of the year.
I thought it was. I didn't think he was going to win album of the year, the Grammys. I thought he was going to win rap album of the year. I'm saying, yeah, for me, he would definitely have been my pick. But I just didn't expect Casey Musgraves to win. I felt like they were like, well, we already gave Childish Gambino a bunch. So, like, the hip-hop community has been recognized. Cardi B, like, we're good. Casey Musgraves, we're good.
Are you familiar with her, by the way, beforehand?
I'm familiar with Casey Musgraves. I have not heard her album, as I am not a fan of country music. But it's...
Does your wife listen to country music?
Some, but not much. Not much, so... I don't know. It's a weird spot for me as like a guy who's not into country. I feel like I need to go listen to her album now. Like, is it that good? You know what I'm saying? Like, when the Academy Awards come on and they hand out the award for Movie of the Year or what is it? What do they call it?
Picture of the whatever.
Yeah, the top
best
award
picture,
of the night. Best picture. Thank you, Micah. God almighty. Best picture. No, if I haven't seen the movie that receives that award, I'm going to see that movie. Shouldn't that be the same case with the Grammys? Like, Casey Musgraves made the album of the year? Surely I have to go listen to it, right?
Well, how about this?
There must be something special about it.
How about you listen to it, and then on a future episode, we'll revisit that, and you can briefly talk about it. Just share your thoughts
on AJ, it. You're so full of good ideas today. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, make a note of that right now.
Well, all Ross, right. Thank you for indulging us in our Grammy recap.
Of course.
That was fun.
That was Micah and intern AJ's Grammy recap.
We'll have to do this again.
There it is.
See you next year.
We'll do this for the Oscars or the Academy.
I probably won't watch those because I'm not a fan of American cinema.
Okay.
But
oh, yeah.
I will watch for Gaga.
We've now reached the point in the show where I have to inform you of your two legal obligations that you've been saddled with having listened to this much of the podcast. One, you must rate and review the Ross Bolin podcast on Apple Podcasts specifically. I don't care if you listen on Spotify or SoundCloud or Stitcher or any other the other places podcasts are played, but I need you to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Don't make me explain why. Just do it. 5 stars, 2-3 sentences about why you love the show. Boom, you're done. Check that box. The dogs are called off. And then number two, you have to tell one friend, family member, coworker, or neighbor, any one individual you can think of that would love the Ross Bolin podcast that doesn't know about the show already, share the show with them. Send them the Spotify link, the Apple Podcast link, a link to the Instagram. Maybe give them a little rundown on why you like the show or whatever. One person this week, one person next week. You got to tell one person every week until the week you die. Those are your two legal obligations. If you fulfill them both, I can assure you we will both be happier than if you didn't. Both of us, you and I. It's a win-win situation. Follow us on Instagram at the Ross Bolin Podcast. We're on Twitter at Ross Bolin Pod. We're also on Facebook somewhere. Nobody knows where. Nobody cares. You can follow me, Ross Bolin, on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at WR Bolin on all three. Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at WRBOLEN. You can also catch me on twitch.com/bossrolling, where I will almost definitely be playing a substantial amount of Apex Legends over the coming years. Micah, where can the good members of the RBP gang follow you and hear more from you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Micah Weiner, MicahWiener. You can listen to our sports podcast at Backdoor Cover, too.
Very, very nice. Intern AJ, what about you?
Twitter and Instagram, I am at Capital AJ, CapitalAJ. And then if you're a hot girl, just DM me and I'll get you the Snapchat.
God, oh, savage. AJ, that's creepy, bro.
No, so, that was savage.
That was something. Same show you'd say you haven't jacked it in 3 months. You throw out your Snapchat for hot chicks.
It's a very weird mix, huh?
I respect the move, though.
I'm a wild card.
HitRowdyGentleman.com. HitRowdyGentleman.com/gang. Grab yourself a Gang Cube t-shirt, and we will catch you next time. In this case, next time is, in fact, tomorrow for RBP 144, episode 144, coming tomorrow, Tuesday, February 12th, 2019. Gang, gang, gang. Peace be with you, and also with you.